Welcome. You are listening to the Cover to Cover podcast, lively conversations with cutting-edge authors, hosted by Mary Elizabeth Jackson. Mary is an author, advocate, and educator. Join us to find your new favorite author, book, or inspiration. And now, here's Mary.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to be here today. As always, I absolutely love sharing people's stories. Everyone has an amazing story and an amazing journey, and we all benefit from hearing them and we benefit from sharing them. Today, I'm really lucky and honored to have on the show a brand new author. She is stepping out of her usual career and she has written a book, and we're going to talk to her about that. I'm really excited. First of all, I want to say, I hope everyone's had a wonderful day. They've done something nice for themselves, or they've done something nice for somebody else. And if not, please get on that right away, because we all could use a little love and support in this world. I wanted to let everyone know that I am an author as well. And so my children's books, it's a series called the Inspire Kids series, is just coming out last month and this month. There's two books, Perfectly Me and Look at Me, and they're great for littles, newborns, and going up into the walking, crawling, standing, that kind of stage. And so this is the premise behind these are that I really, with Thornton Klein and I, my co-writer, we want to inspire and empower kids everywhere and families to know that however they come into this world, they are perfectly made just the way they are. We have empowering words in the books to get that language started early, and you can find it on Amazon and anywhere you buy books. So please join us on this journey that we are on in this mission. Now, I am very honored to be able to interview this beautiful woman today. She was born and raised in the beautiful mountains of Colorado, which I've never been, but someday I'm going to go for sure, and has always felt a connection to where she lives. Growing up, she was blessed with an appreciation for nature and the outdoors, and that has only grown over time, which is really a great place to go when you need to ground yourself and reconnect. And, you know, for me, it's a great inspiration for writing. She's a wife and a mother and a grandmother, and she loves to spend time with her family. Now, the interesting thing about my guest is that she has taken the trauma in her life, she's taking the challenges in her life, and she has now put it into a very empowering way for herself and for others. And we're going to talk to her about that today. She comes from a foster care in her life due to circumstances that we can expand on, and then being an adopted child as well. So she has taken that. She hopes to empower others with that. And with that, I'm going to bring Elizabeth Troy Lynn on. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I have been so excited about this, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. I am humbly grateful.
Well, I am so grateful for you to be here, and that, you know, your publisher, Fitting Words, Dan Wright, we love Dan, he has put you in this care, you know, of us being together today. So I think it's really amazing. And your book is based on your life, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And what I want to ask you a question about, you've taken your background in your life and you've put your heart and soul in here. What inspired you to write this book in the first place?
Well, I at a very early age, going back in my timeline, when I ended up being in the foster care system, I knew at that time that I just had a burning desire that I wanted to help other kids, because I saw what it had done to me and my brothers, and the feelings that we had had. And so I truly feel, in order to connect with someone else going through the same challenges, you have to live it. So I've known pretty much all my life, just a burning inside of me that I was going to do this. And I waited for the right time to do this and prayed about it. sat on it, and I finally said, this is time. So worked on it for 7 years. I wanted it to be the best version that it could be.
You know, that is okay. So you really made a very valid point there. For anyone out there that thinks you have to have that, like there's going to be that perfect moment or that perfect, like I always say, the cabin in the woods or the cottage on the beach. It's really not how a lot of writers' journeys happen. And it didn't happen that way for you. And
right.
You said 7 years. That's a really long time, but you never gave up. And so anyone out there writing, please, please don't give up. Keep going, especially if that's what's been laid on your heart and your passion.
Absolutely.
You know, and we are talking about, this is her first book, Mosaic Masterpiece, and it is available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. And this is Elizabeth Choi Lin. So with knowing that you were going to someday write about this, or you had that desire to do it, mm-hmm. what was your writing process like? Because it took you 7 years. So did you kind of fumble your way through until you kind of got your groove going? Did you try several different things, or what worked best for you in your writing process?
Well, I actually have a really beautiful story. In the beginning, I knew I wanted to write this book, but I didn't know how to start it. So I went to a company in New York and I kind of inquired, hey, this is my story, but the price of what it was going to cost me was a lot of money. And I just did not have the funds to do that. So I prayed on it. I prayed on it. And one day, someone that I knew in my life reached out to me and said, hey, Elizabeth, let's go get some coffee. So we met up, and a long story short, she was in a writer's group, and I had told her what my ambition was, what I wanted to do. And she connected me with this amazing ghostwriter, and we came into an agreement with the cost that I could afford. So that's how my journey began. And he worked with me. Sadly, he passed away. A lot of the beginning of the writing he helped me with, and I'm just so humbled for him. Then I took it one step farther. Then I went back to the company in New York, and I wanted the best version of this book. So I had my book reviewed 3 times. I wanted 3 different opinions of different writers to give me good feedback, honest, positive, negative. And I took that and I went and worked on it more and more and more until I was absolutely ready to get this in the market. And then I found, they actually connected me with a publishing company who connected me with Dan. And that's how I got connected with Dan. And once I got started with Dan, I had it reviewed again. So I think that's a really important step in writing a book. Get as many reviews and opinions as you can so that it is the best version of you.
Well, and your patience has truly paid off for you, because now you have a package of a book that you feel 100% you're sure of and behind, and the product, you feel very confident in it. So you have very important, valid points that you're giving and sharing today with others, that you really do need to have that feedback. You really do need to have it looked over and over and over again, because our eyes are not the best sometimes for our own work, because we don't see things that other people will see. So it's very, very important to do what you did. And now you have a product that you just, well, you stand by 100%. You have
right.
No doubts about it.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you're expanding on it. What do you hope readers will gain or come away from when they read your book?
Well, number one, I want to inspire people. I want them to know that, the challenges that you go through, never quit. Keep going. Resilience, perseverance is so important. And yes, I had bad days when I just fell on the floor and just cried and didn't feel like I could go anymore. But you cannot give up. And the number one message that I want to deliver into the world is forgiveness. The hardest person I had to forgive was my birth mother. And that took a lot of years and years and years to forgive what she did. And it's in my book. And I just want people to know that didn't have that connection with their mom or their dad, how I got through it. And number one, I have a very strong faith with God. God was my parent getting through me the hardest times of my life. I had nobody else to rely on but God and myself. So those are the big takeaways, just to let people know, do not give up, and don't let anybody drive you of a dream that you have, to drive you away from that. You've got to go after it, because that dream was given to you, and to trust your gut intuition.
You know, you keep touching on so many things that are so valid and so important. And I wanted to ask you before we go on, did you seek out your birth mother? Because I know Dr. Stephen Rowley, that I interviewed several weeks ago, he did. And he talks about that. It was like an epiphany moment he had with her. And he only saw her once or twice, but it changed his life. Mm-hmm. So did you seek out your birth mother?
I did. I actually, I went through, because being born and raised in Colorado, I went through the court system to try to find her. And in how they do it is they set up a mediator to kind of help go find that. I provided as much info as I could to her. And we ended up finding her. Unfortunately, with my case, she really didn't want any connection with me, but by law, because there was a sibling, she had another child involved, she had to legally connect us both. So to make a long story short, I did have a short connection with her, but she did not want the connection with me. And she basically, just going to be honest, said that she was not my mother. And so I had to go live with that hurt all over again. But I have finally forgiven her. And the way I look at it is that God did not want me on her pathway then and when I found her. Because if I would have been on her pathway, I would not be the person that I am today. God took me off of her path so that he could have me do my own pathway for his work. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. I'm at peace. I have my healing. So I want other people to know that you can get through it. You can get through it.
That's really important too, Elizabeth, because you've got this, there's so much that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. being a foster care child, or if you're in a situation where you have been rejected by your parent, father or mother, mm-hmm. that leaves a really big hole in a human. I know from my own life with my dad, mm-hmm. and you carry that around with you, and you really never know how much it's ingrained in you until situations come up and it's like, oh, okay, so I'm doing this or acting like this or feeling this way because of feeling unloved and unwanted. Mm-hmm. And as a human being, those are, I think, two of the worst things that we can ever go through, is being unwanted and unloved. But then, you know, you have to come back from that, because you can't let that define who you are in life. If mm-hmm. you do, it will take you down.
Yeah. I talk about that in my book. The rejection of a parent at the beginning of your life is going to set up for many, many hardships, many challenges. But I talk about, I do not candy coat my book. I do talk about reality and things that happened, because how am I going to connect with real people if I don't share my story? So, that's the beginning of my story, is what she did to me, how she lied in the courts. She took me away from my father. And it was just one thing after another. But as I said earlier, God took me off of that path. And I'm so grateful that I was taken off of her pathway, Because who knows what I would be today if I was still on that path. And I'm really proud of myself, of the person that I am today, the family that I have today, the beautiful daughters that I have today, the beautiful grandchildren that I have today. And it's through the hard work that I had to do.
It's very true. And what you've been able to do is look at the trauma in your life and the tragedy, and you've been able to see the silver lining that's there, because your life would have been completely different had you stayed on the path with her. And
yes,
some really bigger, more horrible things could have happened to you given the situation maybe she was in. And that's a place that I think each of us who have been through trauma, even if our child has been through trauma, we have to go to a place of, how do I get out of being a victim? It doesn't resolve it all. It doesn't say what happened was okay. It doesn't mean you forgive that situation, but you do have to know that you just have to get to a place where it doesn't trigger you anymore. And it doesn't define who you are.
Yep.
And you don't live your life by it. It's like a, you know, I'm a special needs advocate. Okay. I have two children on the spectrum. They don't live their life by that. That says, I'm autistic, and then this is all I can ever do in my life or be.
Right.
You know, I don't let them do that. I mean, I come from parents divorcing when I was very young. My father left. He didn't come back into my life until I was an adult. But you had that entire, from the age of like 12 to almost 20, maybe even more, very, very profound years in the growth of a person. All those years are very important, we know, but the depth of what it left, those holes are, you know, you really have to figure out a way out, and resiliency and being able to see, you put yourself on top by saying, God pulled me out of here, you know? And so you can be a light for others.
Yeah. Absolutely. And also, too, I think that's so important. And I want people to know that are in this situation. I broke the cycle. I ended the family cycle of this type of behavior. And I want everyone to know, if you're in similar situations, break the cycle. Be the one to break the cycle, to put you and, you know, yourself on a better pathway. Because I look at my family, I'm so close to my daughters, and I love them, I cherish them, they know it. And I broke the cycle of what my mother did. So
seventh
I'm
generation.
Proud of myself.
I'm very proud
yes.
of you too. And you broke that seventh generation
Thank
cycle.
Thank you.
That seventh generation
Thank
curse,
you.
As they call it, or whatever. Yeah, I know. I've worked on doing the same thing with my family as well. So I feel what you're talking about. I have a lot of appreciation for it, and it is a lot of work. It's not easy. Today I'm talking to Elizabeth Choi Lin, and her first book, The Mosaic Masterpiece, which you can find on any outlet place where books are sold. And we're just really excited to have her here today. And she has got some very exciting news, because this doesn't always happen with books. But will you share with our audience about, you've had it translated already?
Yes. So I have had my book translated into Spanish. It's now on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. And the reason why I wanted to do this is because there's people all over the world who are hurting, who are going through situations. It's just not here. So I had somebody read my book, and they said, Elizabeth, you need to get this into the Spain market. And I took on that challenge, and I have it done. It's now, you can order it, and I want to get it into different languages. So this is only the beginning. And I hope that it will help many people.
I hope that it does too, because as we were talking before the show, it's sort of like illness and things like that. It knows no race, no culture, no bank account, no religion. It doesn't know that. It just knows adopted, foster care, abandonment, you know, all of those have no boundary. So it does bring us together, very much connected. And so your goal is to, you know, embrace diversity and go across all those barriers, even outside the United States and wherever else you can go. I would love for you to, you have something very special that's in your book that's been touching people's lives. Will you read that for us?
Yes. So thank you very much. I read a poem and I need to put on my glasses. So I actually wrote this poem. I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and said, how can I really reach people's heart? So this is what I wrote. It's called One Life. We all come into this world with nothing but love. We come at our exact moment with a purpose. We all will have challenges throughout our life. We have to choose our pathway, right or wrong. We all will have triumphs and defeats. We get to choose how to react to those challenges. We get to choose forgiveness or unforgiveness for those who have hurt us. We get to choose how much love and kindness we give out to others unselfishly before God says it's time to go home.
That is really, really beautiful. Yes, I can see why it touches a lot of people. I love that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for sharing that with us. What is your coming up next project? Will you share that with us?
Yes, so I just now have a new team. We are getting ready to start writing a children's book about foster care and adoption. It's really important to my heart, just really, really important to go now out, reach the children that are actually going through it. My hope is that I want to get this book into schools, into foster homes, into whatever doors will happen. I also want children who have not been through the process to really be aware of what a person goes through when they lose their parents. And I'm hoping that this book will bring togetherness, inspiration, and for the children that are going through that to really think about as they, we're going to hit the 7 to 11 age group. And I'm really hoping that they will really think about the choices in their one life, who you have around you, and what goals and dreams do you have? So this is the target that I'm trying to do.
That is wonderful.
Thank you.
I really hope that you achieve your goals. And, you know, I definitely will support anything that you're doing. I think that it's amazing and wonderful. And talk about reaching out, you know, for any writers out there, authors or folks who want to write, why did you feel that it was, because you've got a team. So will you kind of, you know, expand on that for just a moment for folks out there? Because there's all different kinds of ways to write. And it's really hard to get started in the writing world and to know what is going to be the best fit for me.
Mm-hmm. So and that's a really good question. I have some people who have approached me and they said, I want to write my story. And I said, go to the store and get about 10 journals and get the cheap ones if they're a dollar. Carry a journal, have one at home, have one in the car. Have one wherever you go. And when you have a thought in your head, start writing it down. Start writing that thought down because that's how I started. And so now that I now have my book out there, I do have some money coming back in and I'm utilizing that money to put it back into these projects. So the team that I'm going to have, I was given 4 bios. Amazing people, amazing writers, and I will interview them. And when I feel the one that touches my heart, we will begin writing. We will become a team. We will start our writing process until this book is done. And then what happens is that's just the writing piece of it. then I have to go get an illustrator. So it's a process. And I think one of the most important advice I can give is patience. You have to have patience and also know inside your heart that book will come out exactly when it's supposed to come out.
Exactly. That is something I tell people, that in every book has its birthday.
Yeah.
Yes, yep. It really does. I've come to learn that through my writing journey and being an author since 2017. It really is a process, and you really have to surrender. Because when, as a creative, when we create something, we want it out there right then. And that's right. Really not how it works, because it has to be refined. Yes. And it's sort of like when we're cooking and baking, and well, when even bees are making honey, they have to mm-hmm. wait till it's perfectly done, you know? So what about the whole, you know, I keep a journal with me. I actually also use my voice memo on my phone when I don't have something to write, because the way my first children's book came to me, it was a download in a moment. I was in a complete state of gratitude after my son and I survived his birth. And it was a divine download. And so at that time, a whole bunch of things were coming to me to write. So I had to have the notebook with me constantly. So that's another thing, something that I tell people as well, is make sure you have, you know, and if you don't have it, then just use the voice memo on your phone. Mm-hmm. It works good. I've done it a lot of times driving down the road, going to pick up kids or whatever, you know, in my life. And and sometimes, you know, there's that 3 and 4 a.m. in the morning when things come to you and you're too tired to get up and write. Like you can't, your eyes aren't even focused yet, but you need to get that thought out so you don't lose it. You know, what do you hope that children will get from your children's book?
That, so I, number one, I want children to know that losing their parents is not their fault. They need to know that it was not their fault. That's number one, because I carried such guilt thinking that I had done something wrong, and that's not it at all. It's a choice that they made, for whatever reason. Number two, for me, keep kind people around you, which is so important, because we become a reflection. We become who we are, who we are hanging, you know, around. You want to hang out with people that inspire you, that have their own dreams, their own ambitions. That's so important. And to never give up on your dream, to fight hard for it. Because I said earlier, your gut, trust your gut intuition. You have a purpose on this earth. You have a powerful purpose, and you have so many people that you can inspire and that you're going to teach and that you're going to help. And that's what I want children to get out of the book.
Do you recommend that someone who's been given up for adoption or gone into foster care when they're able to, at some point, do you recommend that they find their birth parents? Do you think that's a good thing for everyone?
I think yes and no. In my situation, it probably was not a good thing. But again, it was a good thing, because now I know that she was not a person to have in my life. So it closed the door for me to help me to heal even more from it. Now I've heard of some people that do find their parents and they have a beautiful relationship. But also, you're always going to have that in the back of your head. You know, why did you give me up? So I think I'm going to answer it is each situation is different. How you can handle it when you go into it, because you don't know what it's going to be like until you actually have contact with your parent again.
Yes, it definitely is something that's an individual case by case situation. I'm talking today to Elizabeth Choi Lim, her very first book, Mosaic Masterpiece. And it's really beautiful. She's had it translated into Spanish for all the for individuals because, you know, adoption, foster care, it kind of has no boundaries. So she's looking to translate into other languages, and hopefully the book will go outside the United States. Anybody listening that is interested, how can people contact you? They want you to come for speaking, you know, that kind of thing.
So I also have a website, Elizabeth Choi Lim. You can just go on that website and email. And I also have Facebook, Elizabeth Choi Lim. I have an Instagram, Elizabeth Choi Lim. And Choi Lim is one word. It is spelled T-R-O-Y-L-Y-N-N. And for those who have not read my book, Choi Lim is actually my real name that was given to me at birth. So it's a very powerful name that I wanted to keep with me. Close. So that's why I have Choi Lim in this.
That's really nice. And we want, you know, we want everybody to go out and buy your book. If you want to contact Elizabeth, that's the way that you can contact her. We want to support families and those individuals who are wanting to heal themselves from a very deep, serious thing in their life. If they come and they have gone through foster care and, or they're an adopted child, and it's very important. Everyone wants to feel loved and supported. So if you know somebody who is in this, you know, who has gone through this, reach out to them and, you know, offer support if you're able to. And information about Elizabeth will be in the description. Link to the book will be there as well. So you can go purchase it because I know you want to. It's a gorgeous cover and it's a beautiful story. And we're really grateful that she has shared it with us. And we want to support Elizabeth because she's a brand new author. So we really want to support her with that. And I want to thank you so very much for being here today with me and sharing your journey. I'm really grateful.
Thank you for having me. It has been a pleasure and you made it so easy. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You did an amazing job. And this is the first of many interviews to come. So have a beautiful day and we'll be back soon on Cover to Cover. And again, as always, do something nice for yourself. Blessings, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of our audience today. Please subscribe, like, and share the podcast with your friends, and tune in for the next episode of Cover to Cover for all things in the author world.